What if your personal or business brand was so focused and so on target that it was easy for everyone in your organization to understand? What if you connected with your clients on an emotional level so deeply that they never forgot you? This is what the most successful brands in the world do. It's not about ad budgets. It's about developing a consistent brand, no matter the industry, location, or size of the company. Discover your brand and create an amazing, foolproof marketing strategy. This is the Brand Archetypes Podcast, hosted by Kevin Scarrett and Amy Zander, owners of BrandArchetypes.com. Join them on a journey to discover your most powerful, true brand.
Welcome back to the Brand Archetypes Podcast, everyone.
This is Kevin Scarrett, and I am with Amy Zander. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
Very good. We are going to be doing a session today that I think is super important, because when people hear the whole concept of archetype branding, they go, oh, that's really, really interesting. And then when they dive into it, they get all excited, and we see them, the buzz going around, and then they actually try to integrate it into their operations. How many times have you seen that?
Right. And then that's usually where we get the call back and we're like, okay, so, hey, I know what my archetype is, but
what do we do?
Yeah, now what?
Yeah, right. So yeah, companies and organizations, especially in the beginning of something new, if they try a new process, new operational procedure, new anything, right, there is a very good chance that they're going to get stuck, especially with something that's really foreign to them. And this whole idea of brand strategy definitely feels foreign to a lot of people. So one of the benefits of the whole archetype branding process for creating a brand strategy is, although it feels foreign, when you hear it and when you start thinking about it, it's so intuitive. So that's a beautiful thing. But because it feels foreign, these kinds of ideas can often be kind of discounted or kind of just ignored by some people in your operations. So even if you're open to the concept, it takes a bit of effort to get things moving in the right direction. And the bigger your organization, the more extreme this process can be, where it's a struggle, right? So there are obstacles that are in front of you if you have not gone through this before. Everybody encounters obstacles. And some of those obstacles, they're in front of us. And because we've been looking at them so long, they're just a part of what we do and, you know, who we are. We don't even see them as obstacles anymore. So what we're talking about today is how to get your brand to flow freely, and how to integrate brand ideas, and how to find good branding ideas so that you can integrate them more easily. It's all designed to get the brand juices flowing. The good thing is we're, of course, doing this for the sake of branding, but these ideas that we're talking about today are also going to be good for getting your marketing juices flowing and your marketing processes going. Okay?
Absolutely. So one of the things that we like to tell our clients right from the beginning is that, you know, if you're adopting this brand archetypes philosophy or considering it, it's definitely going to be different than probably the way you've been doing things. So we encourage people to don't do things the old way, or you need to start thinking about your brand in a whole different new way and having an open mind. And by doing that, that's how you got to where you are now, especially with discovering brand archetypes or knowing that you want to do something different with your brand and make it stronger. So this doesn't mean that everything you used to do was wrong either. So usually when we start working with a client, we thought, what are you doing now? What's working for you now? What's not working? What's the next step do you want to do? We're not just throwing everything out. But you do have to be open-minded that there are better or different ideas in your future, different way to do things. And you've probably already realized that, because that's why you're listening to this or exploring ways to do your brand differently. So if you've ever heard the words from yourself or from employers or coworkers like, well, that's just not how we do things here, right? But if you hear those words, you like it from yourself or from somebody else without a good reason why, you should immediately question it. Like, why do we do things this way, or why don't we do things this way? Those words are usually justification for avoiding change. and affecting change is usually inconvenient and uncomfortable and hard.
Most people hate change. Right. Most people hate change. When, and I think that the best phrase that you said was open-mindedness. I love that.
Well, yeah. And I mean, just when it starts to get uncomfortable or scary or you're not sure that you can do it, just remember like why you're doing it. You're doing it so that you can have a better, stronger brand, be more, stand out more in your marketplace. And also it will flow into your marketing and everything that you do. So just always keep in mind why you're doing this, why you're making these changes.
Yeah. And like you said, as squidgy and as uncomfortable or as inconvenient as it may feel, on the other side of it, it's going to be a lot easier, a lot more productive, a lot more free.
Right.
So that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So our second idea is that your best brand and marketing ideas and brand strategies, they're going to come to you in unexpected places, from unexpected sources, and that you should just be aware of that. The more, again, open-minded you are, the more open you are to receiving these ideas, or you actually start looking for them, then the more they're going to come at you. So you kind of have to become a student of brand, and you have to be looking out for what other people are doing. So it might be, you know, you might be watching a movie or a TV commercial, or you know, a comment is made by one of your employees. Like, you know, let's say it's a janitor who makes some kind of a comment about your brand. You know, they're probably not going to be doing that a lot, but you have to hear, you have to listen, you have to be open to what is being said, because there may be some gems there. You know, pay attention to what's going on when you're out in the world, when you're out shopping, when you're out driving down the street and looking at billboards. Just about anywhere you go, you have the opportunity to have brand stuff coming at you with ideas that are wild and unpredictable and awesome.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to keep in mind that while you're concentrating on your own company's brand and marketing and that kind of thing, we're all people living in the world that are susceptible to marketing and branding and influence, right? So like the next time you buy something or click on that Facebook ad or find yourself down some rabbit hole, think back to like what enticed you to do that. Why did you click on this and not that, or what worked, you know? Yeah. Because we're just human, and we are going to be persuaded, or the wow factor, or like, ooh, that's a pretty picture, I'm going to click on that, you know? Yeah. That kind of stuff. And so to start paying attention about why you're motivated, or how you're affected by marketing as well.
So there's a reason why they keep putting that candy right to put by the cashier.
Right? Yeah. I know. Yeah. Works for me. I grab it. Yeah, it does. Right. So the third thing that we want to stress too is to just, it kind of goes along with that open-mindedness and like that risk factor, or being comfortable with taking some risks, but don't freak out about brand marketing mistakes. Like, don't get in that whole analysis paralysis cycle where you're so worried about making a mistake that you don't do anything. And actually, like, you know, I think Kevin and I would make the argument that you can never really fail, but you can only succeed or experience a learning moment. So that whole parent, you know, put on your parenting hat, a learning moment. So yeah, some things are going to work better than others or whatever. We had that podcast of a couple back talking about brand fails and things that companies tried and didn't work. Right. But I don't think any of those, I don't think any of the examples we used were a brand fail that company had that caused them to completely go out of business, right?
Right.
They had to recover. They had to do some things. They had to look at things a little bit differently. But like, you are allowed to make mistakes in your branding. It does happen, and it's not the end of the world, right?
Right. Yeah. And even the current, you know, like the Washington Redskins, you know, the...
The Aunt Jemima stuff talked about recently.
Yeah, the Aunt Jemima. Yeah. That's all free advertising for them.
Right, right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, although you should make mistakes on purpose, obviously, you should realize that if you're not making enough mistakes, you're probably not being bold enough. You're not trying stuff enough. So that's another, you know, another way to look at it. Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah. So being bold and bravely allowing your organization to make mistakes is the fastest way to success. And that's a totally different way of looking at that. But it's true.
Yeah, I love that. Not if you're not making mistakes, you're not being bold enough. I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
So the fourth thing is, don't rely. Now, this is going to may sound strange to some people, especially all the experts out there. don't rely exclusively on input from experts. That is not where the good stuff lies. Now, you know, getting advice from experts based on their experience, based on, you know, their education and their certifications and all of the good stuff that they bring to the table, that's awesome. But there's a value in getting the deep expertise, but there's less fresh or creative or innovative ideas that are going to come your way if you rely solely on input from experts. So what we're suggesting here is expand where you get your input. And pretty much what we're saying is allow yourself to get input from everywhere and evaluate each little piece regardless of how wild and crazy it is. You're open to receiving it, so put it in the queue and think about it and let those seeds germinate and start sprouting, and you'll find amazingly good stuff, and you'll discover very quickly that most of the good stuff isn't coming from consulting or expert input.
Right. Well, and the other good news there too is that I think you would agree with me when I say this, Kevin, is that most people have some kind of an opinion on marketing and branding, whether they're a marketing expert or not, whether they even thought about it. I mean, we're humans. Like I said earlier, we're exposed to marketing daily, on the hour, on the minute, whatever. And so we all have opinions about that. So you can literally get ideas and opinions everywhere you look about marketing.
Yeah. Right? And I would suggest that marketing people are only second to designers.
Yeah,
In that, you know, like, no one is ever going to question their cardiologist, right? Or their contract attorney. No one ever questions those people. But everybody knows everything about marketing. And even more people know about design.
Right. So
just know that.
Right. Well, and as humans, I mean, oftentimes too, like a lot of times we know what we like, we even if we don't know why we like that marketing, yeah, or that kind of thing. So the more you start thinking about that, the more you'll just start cluing into your own brand and own marketing. So
that's right. Yeah. And really kind of the point here is that as business owners, and we're all guilty of it, we get kind of mired in the day-to-day process, and we're doing our stuff and we're making our widgets and we're pushing it out and we're calculating our return on investments and our profit margins and we're doing all our stuff, business stuff. It is so easy to forget about brand management. It's super easy to forget about it. And when you do that, it affects not just your operations, more importantly, it affects your marketing. And that's also easy to forget about. It's so easy to get kind of on autopilot for these issues.
Sure.
And that's the danger, really. So what we're saying is expand where you're getting your input. And by that open-mindedness, you will also be expanding your opportunities.
Right. And along with that open-mindedness, it's very important to always stay positive about stuff. Ugh. Right. So like, you know, negative Nancy's rarely come up with the best brand or marketing ideas. So
never.
Yeah. Right. Never. Yeah. Yeah. So I'd encourage you to hold to this rule and kind of make it a rule for your team too, that, you know, instead of saying that won't work or the first response out of your mouth to a new idea is a negative thing. Instead, maybe switch it up and say things like, I wonder what kind of results we'd get, or that's interesting, you know, what about this, or tell me more about that. And so just kind of make it a general rule to not discount any idea right out the gate. Think about it. Give yourself a beat to think about it, consider it, because it might be the best idea somebody's come up with all year if you give it its due diligence.
Right.
So like, you know, wild, wacky, crazy ideas will almost always get shot down by negativity unless you're, you know, one of those brands like Jester or Outlaw or something that's always trying to top the weirdest thing that they've done. But this can be one of your most fertile sources of ideas, especially if you just give people the freedom to truly brainstorm. That can be very helpful. And then, you know, like I said, foster it in your workplace. You know, encourage people to just come up with their ideas and say what's on their mind and not be afraid to, you know, pose a crazy idea.
Yeah, I think that nothing will kill the flow of good ideas faster than having a bunch of employees who are afraid that the next thing that comes out of their mouth, they're going to be criticized for it.
Right.
You just need to do that a handful of times, and all of a sudden they're not throwing their wild and crazy, possibly wildly successful ideas out there. They're just keeping mum and keeping it to themselves because they don't want to suffer that embarrassment ever again.
Right.
So it's not just for branding. That's for everything, right? Foster an environment of positivity. That's important.
Absolutely.
Okay, so here's one. And I learned this one years and years and years ago, that with business, your brain is always on. Your brain is always, and some of us more so than others, sometimes it's 24 hours a day where you're even processing this stuff in your sleep. And when you come up with a new idea, or when you have a little twist of an idea or something that you think might be productive, for me, it never happens, or rarely happens, where it's convenient for me to just jot it down. I'm almost never sitting at my computer working when these things come at me. So, you know, we all have smartphones, right? Just learn to use it. So experiment with ideas to capture this flow of ideas that's coming at you at these odd hours. You know, try things like Evernote. It's an app that allows you to just jot down notes, or text the idea to yourself, or email it to yourself, or use a to-do list app, or, you know, Google Calendar has a to-do list feature. It doesn't matter what you do or what apps you use, but you pretty much have to have a way of capturing these ideas 24 hours a day. And the reason I say 24 hours a day is I can't tell you the number of times where I've woken up in the middle of the night, couldn't get back to sleep, my mind is just grinding about all the things that I have to do the next day, and I come up with an interesting idea. And the number of times I said, oh, I'll remember that. That's such a good idea. I'll remember that. The next morning, I don't remember it.
I don't remember. Right. I know. A lot of my ideas come to me as I'm laying in bed, and I use the notes feature on my iPhone. And yep. I have just running pages of notes about stuff. Sometimes the next day, I'll be like, that's not sure what I meant there. But yeah. At least it'll spark it. But I use this feature so much that oftentimes when I'm in meetings or meeting with people or whatever, and I'll grab my phone and start typing, I'm like, hey, I'm just typing what you just said, or I'm making a note. I'm not being rude or texting somebody or like right. whatever. I'm actually like engaged in writing something down.
TikTok.
Yeah. Right. But I actually said that just the other day. I was in a webinar, and I, you know, but we could see each other, and I'm grabbing my phone and I'm like, I'm just taking a note, you know. But that, you know, that's important. And I go through, especially for me, for like blog ideas, and like I'll have right. lots of blog ideas, and I'll go back and like, oh, I could write about that or that.
Yeah. So you said sleeping, and I think it's pretty much any time where your brain is relaxed. Now, relaxed doesn't mean not active. It just means it's in a mode that it wants to be in, not someone else's mode.
Right. You know,
so like if you're driving, your mind is super, super active, but it's not necessarily on driving, sadly. Or if you're falling asleep, or you're just waking up, like you said, or you're just doing, you know, busy work, like, you know, licking envelopes and putting stamps, or
right.
know, folding flyers, or if you're, you know, exercising, you know, you're running on the treadmill, your mind is going a mile a minute, but it's not necessarily on the treadmill.
Right.
It's just doing other stuff. So I think that's when the opportunity is, that these things are going to come into your brain, and then you suddenly have to have a way of capturing it, right?
So right.
singing and dancing and playing games and exercising, it doesn't matter what you're doing, your brain's always on.
Right.
So be ready to capture them there.
Absolutely.
So when you immerse yourself, it's kind of the bottom line here is, if you immerse yourself in this new brand archetype idea, you are certainly going to get your creative juices, your thinking going. And that's a beautiful thing, but you have to be prepared to capture the ideas that come your way. And if you're not doing that right now, I think just as a professional, you will find that might be the best advice you get this month.
True. Worth the price yeah. of admission.
That is exactly right.
Yeah. So not only will you get some really good ideas when you're resting, your brain's thinking about something else or whatever, but I also think it's really important to ask a lot of questions when you're thinking about brand. Kind of what I meant what I mentioned earlier is like, why did you click on that? Or what made you react to that ad versus that ad? And one of the things that I like to study, for example, are billboards. Because I drive, I see billboards, I look at them, and I immediately like them or I don't like them. And then
most people don't even look at them.
Right, I do. because billboards are, if they're done correctly, are like all the brand elements in a very simple snapshot that you can read 5 seconds driving by it, right? So they either work or they don't. And I think they're really interesting. And so when you see a good one, think about why that was. Was it the colors? Was it the font? Was it the message? The lack of message? The picture? Like just, you know, kind of think about all the things that you liked or didn't like about that billboard or what could have made it better. And I think that that's a really good way to think about branding sometimes.
I do the exact same thing. And I even ask, of course, you know, no surprise, I ask myself, I wonder what archetype they are.
Right. Right. Oh, sure. That plays into all of that. That plays into everything that I look at branding wise, usually.
Yeah.
Another thing to think too, going on the brand archetype thing, is not only what was the picture engaging or what they said was engaging, but also how did I feel emotionally when I looked at that? You know, did I want to laugh? Did I have an emotion at all? Was I irritated? You know, like that kind of thing. But that's the whole next step. And that's what brand archetypes really brings into your marketing, is that emotional piece too. So, yeah. Right. And like you said, you can think about it too. Like, how would that look? How would it look like with a different archetype? Or if you see a billboard that's kind of bland, you could say to yourself, how would I make that archetype or that billboard into my archetype, the archetype that my, or a archetype.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's really vanilla the way they did it. But if they went with Outlaw, oh, that would be so good.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I do that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the more you ask questions of yourself and other people, most people are kind of afraid of questions. They don't want to come off as being stupid. Because if you're asking a question, you're demonstrating your lack of knowledge. You stop thinking that.
Right.
That's part of this open-mindedness. Asking questions isn't a demonstration of a lack of intelligence. It's a demonstration of curiosity.
Right.
It's a demonstration that you want to explore further what the possibilities are.
Absolutely. It's important. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is good. This is good stuff. We went through 7 kind of big ideas there, and I hope people got some tips and ideas on how to get those creative juices flowing and the brand process unstuck. Give us a summary here, Amy.
Yeah. So basically, the summary is to be bold. Think about your brand. We like to say think about it all the time, every day. And even if it leads to mistakes, it's okay. You can learn from those mistakes because at least you're doing something. You're being creative. You're putting it out there. Stay open-minded, ask a lot of questions, and be positive and create an environment in your workplace and with your team of allowing that creativity, and there's no dumb ideas. All ideas will be explored, because that's how you're going to get the most creativity out of your teammates. And then also just find some way to capture your ideas, whether it's the notes on your smartphone, a notepad, or whatever you use, just start getting in the habit of writing those ideas down so you don't lose them.
Right. I would even expand that. You said find a way. I would say find lots of ways to capture your ideas. Because you just, you know, middle of the night, it may not be convenient to pull out your smartphone and, you know, turn it on. So you might have a little notepad or something like that there. Or you might have a whiteboard in your conference room that's dedicated just to new ideas. Or, I mean, there's just so many different ways to do this. But yeah, that's a great breakdown. So if you have any questions, of course you can call us, and you can connect with us on all those social platforms. And just as a reminder, we have word lists for all 12 of the basic archetypes. For $29.95, just connect with us and we'll be glad to hook you up. And we look forward to having you listen in with us next week. You going to be here, Amy?
Yep, absolutely. We'll be here next
absolutely.
Week.
Absolutely. Okay, thanks for your time today.
Yep, talk to you next week.
You've been listening to the Brand Archetypes Podcast. Are you ready to discover your company's archetype? check out brandarchetypes.com, where you can download the book, find out about archetype-specific strategies, connect with us on social media, and sign up for our newsletter.